Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's August 27th, 2023. We have Jimmy. Whoa, hold on. My switchboard, there it is. I thought it was gone again. Jimmy and 313, is that Jesse? Is that, who is that? 313, area code.
Hey, Don.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Jimmy.
Looks like we got Adrian, I think that's Adrian.
That is just. So what's going on? Good. So I'm hearing this bullshit they might be making you guys try and put on masks again. If that's true, in my humble opinion, Sean Payne needs to put his jock strap on and take the membership out on the health and safety, because studies have proved masks does shit. All they're going to use that is put a hardship on the membership. Know the games these companies are going to play. Not Don knows the games they play. Take it away, Jess.
Oh, yeah.
Is Scott or Adrian on?
Yeah, here comes Scotty, always late. Let me get him on. Scott?
Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hello. Hey, what's up?
Yabba dabba do. We got Jesse on the other line, too.
Yeah, I kind of agree about the mask stuff. Somebody else asked about this, that they're going to push a mandate again. I don't think they'll push a mandate again because we found out the mask didn't do nothing. We all
that's
know
what
the
I'm,
honest truth about that.
That's what I'm saying, and they're talking the mask. Well, the companies would damn sure use that, and if they can force them to put it on, just to put a hardship on right now. They want us to hurt. You guys got to understand, I know Scott does, but the younger membership is what I'm saying. And they don't give a rat's ass. Right now, they just want you to hurt, especially if we're going to go out on strike, Scott. Now, another thing I wanted to bring to your attention, on the other side of 75 there on Bristol Road, three of the presses that were taken out of the metal fab were taken over there and set up in a plant, a new shop. Are they planning to run scab shit?
Where were they taken?
We lost over at Metal Fab in the last 3 years. Shit, I couldn't tell you how many presses. And I know we lost two, possibly three blankers, and I know of, I don't know, 7-8 presses that have been carted out of there just for scrap metal. Well, a couple of them were rebuilt. Three of them were rebuilt. Well, they were hauled out, and they're over on the other side of 75, I'm told, behind that gas station in a new building that has no name on it. What the hell's going on? I'm just wondering if everybody's aware. I mean, I'm being told this.
Down on Holiday Drive?
Yeah.
Across the road?
Exactly.
Now, with those conventional presses? Yeah, you're not talking transfer presses. You're talking conventional presses, right?
Two conventional. Yeah, those would have been the three conventional. Well, no, there was one. There's two C transfer presses that went over there.
Could run stuff off the.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're running over there, what are you going to run? You can't even run.
Well, that's what I'm
parts.
Saying. A C press will run everything that your 1500 truck runs. You know, and
yeah,
as long as they got access to them dies, that would be the only thing. You know, but being on strike, my one buddy said two of the C presses went out of there with the fender dies in it. And I'm like, what?
Wow. Well,
so that's why I'm hearing shit from guys second shift. They're calling me, and I'm like, why are you calling me? I'm not in the plant.
Well, you can run service parts if you wanted to, or you can try to run parts. The problem of it is a lot of the body shops don't want just black metal anymore. They want metal that's been through the elbow dip. You know what I mean? And then they'll paint them there. They don't, they want them elbow and primer. They'll prime them and they'll paint them, but they want them dipped. And if you're moving presses, you're just talking raw metal. A lot of people don't want raw metal no more. They want that elbow dip on it first.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And so how are you going to move them from Holiday Drive over to a paint facility that actually has elbow tanks so they can dunk that? And then it has to go through an oven at 500 degrees for 15 minutes.
Well, I'm just asking because, like I said, if he's made comments, you know, a couple of them made comments, if it's a long strike, they might try and run and get people to cross our line because we're a right-to-work state now.
Okay, so if you go back.
All kinds of weird shit in the plan. I don't know if you're hearing that shit. I'm just a retiree, but I got my phone's been ringing crazy for 2 weeks now. I'm already thinking, God damn.
What did you guys go out in 96 for? They were moving dyes out of metal fab, right?
Yeah, they were taking our dyes to Canada. That was 98.
But, okay, 98, not 96, 98. But you got Canada is saying their Unifor is supporting us. And if we go on strike, they're going to support our strike. So that'll be interesting.
Well,
but anyway, I'm just trying to.
Do you believe that, Scott?
Jesse, they supported us in 98 because when the dyes they got out of metal fab, the doors were welded in Canada. They could not get the damn dyes in, so they came back home. That's the honest to God truth. What was his name? Buzz Hargrove?
Yep.
I think that
Buzz Hargrove.
Canadian. I think he was the Canadian president that ordered the doors to be welded.
That was.
Do you believe that,
day.
Those guys?
Do I believe what?
Do you believe that with the new Unifor president that we're going to be supported across the border? Let's
I don't
say specifically for Woodbine.
Well, got to take the man and his word first, and then we'll find out if it ain't no good or not. You got a 50-50 chance.
Oh, I would say, yeah, well, so I would say that on this side of the border, our president's word about that at face value, that was told to the media and the membership prior to August 10th with, go back and listen to the, go back and reevaluate what you may or may have not heard. And during the I think it was, I don't know, 30 minutes or close to 30 minutes of media, addressing the media, the Unifor president addressing the media, and then also taking questions. I'm not going to spin my opinion on it. I'd rather people look that up for themselves because right now we are trying to bring together solidarity. We're not trying to have division, but yeah, at your own leisure, the article or the YouTube video is posted across media, and just watch it and listen to about any statements on their opening position.
They just have always tried to move work out prior to, if talks are going south, they just try to move stuff out. They always have. Problem of it is, you end up going to job shops that used to be owned by then Vice President Chris Spielman, not the union vice president, General Motors at that time was Spielman. You had the guy, who was the hatchet guy, Jimmy, that used to go around, Tom Brady. Not the football player.
Yeah, that was the executioner. He closed all the plants.
Brady and
what's weird about him? Go ahead. I was just going to say what was weird about him is the plants he closed were our best plants, Jesse.
And they kept Marion open because that was Tom Brady's. I think it was Tom Brady. His name. I know it's Brady. Was his last name. His home was Marion. And Marion's antiquated. It's very old. So, and there's still run parts there to stay. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with you there. What do you think, Jesse?
Jesse's not with us?
I know. Is Adrian, you around?
Yeah, let me get back to the switchboard. We got a lot of people.
I'm
going
to go back to what I said.
Push 1 on your keypad if you'd like to join the conversation. We have a, Carrie, is this you, JJ, or Adrian? One of the three.
It's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. How you doing, dear?
Hi, everybody. Nice to hear everybody's voice. Hi.
Yes. We missed you last week.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi. I missed you, too.
Do something.
How's everybody
about
doing? Good?
Yes. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
This is getting interesting. This is getting interesting, isn't it? All this, read some of this media, and I still don't think any of them really got a good grasp on how much we actually make. Like, you know, they highball it every single time.
Yes, they do.
The numbers they put out, I'm like, well, you can't even get your numbers right. But, you know, I think, too, is like my father-in-law, he was in corporate America. And from what he's read and heard, he kind of wanted to know from listening to certain things that were put out in the media, you know, he's like, well, what is the big sticking point? And they said, well, you got to imagine that most of the things that people are reading aren't even factual numbers on what we make. So,
well,
I think that's a shame.
What they're doing with the numbers is they're totaling in total costs, employees, benefits, vacation time. They're just really putting the numbers up. Back in the day when they said we were making $98 back in the day, that number was ballooned because we had to cover the retirees' health care. And when they took that away, then numbers went way down. And then if you remember in 2011, our total cost was like $50 an hour. We were just a few dollars ahead of the Japanese transplants. And we maintained that because everybody's health care went up, including the Japanese. And now they're saying, you know, we're up to $77 an hour, and it's like, well, I'd like to know what the total cost of our health insurance is, because the temporaries you're only given limited to.
Well, let me get this young lady on that's got her hand up, and trust me, she's no transgender. Let me get Adrian on. Adrian,
good evening,
on.
Everyone.
Good evening, dear.
Good evening.
You know, the media, the news media, they've always hyped those numbers.
Yep.
As Scott said, it doesn't just involve the wage. It has all the benefits attached to it. You would think that at this time that someone would come out, such as whoever Sean is using to report to the media, if it's not him, would break it down so that people would get the real figures. I mean, you top out at this, and then the benefits cost this. Stop letting the companies make it seem like this is what you're paid per hour. I've always wondered about that. Why no one ever, from our side, make them break that down?
You're right. They let the media dictate what we're hearing.
Yes. Or it's not so much us. It's the consumers out there.
Right.
You make the consumers think that the pricing on the vehicles, they're so high because of us. That's not true.
Right. We're 5 to 10% of the cost of the vehicle. The labor is.
Right. Right.
And that's what I had to explain to him. And I said, those numbers that you're getting, those aren't even two factual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years. And no one stops them. I mean, no one from our side says, oh, no, that's not how this is.
Right.
I always wondered why.
You know, and I think those numbers are elevated, too, because if you average them out with the temporary, the tier two, and the seniority worker, if you average them out, it's not as high as what you think it is.
Right.
You know, I'm only giving you part of the numbers. I'm not giving you all the numbers. Just the number that I want you to hear. So.
That's correct. Exactly. That's correct.
I mean, Adrian, Jim, I, Don, we've been around this. I don't know if Jesse's still on or not, but we've always seen them try to move work out of the plant if they're thinking it's going to be a strike. So that they think they can run it somewhere. And this has happened historically. Every time they do that, it turns to poo-poo on them. Every time. Every time.
Like I said, I'm just telling everybody, a lot of people were concerned because this is the first time facing this with this right-to-work bullshit in there.
Well, we had it the last strike. It was in place for the last strike. So, you know, we got around that. You know, they did bus people in at our plant. So, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if that's the case, you're going to have a president and vice presidents, which I think we've got. We're going to play hardball table because of that. You're bringing scab labor behind my workforce, behind my membership. The price of doing business just went up. You know what I'm saying? I might have let off on this or this. No, not now. No, I want it all. That's going to happen. I'm just saying, if we go there, I was going to ask Jesse if he heard something, because I heard something this afternoon from a second shifter coming in, that they had agreed to the wages in the 32-hour work week. And I said, where did you hear that? He said, it was online. I said, well, where online? Because I went to a couple sources real quick when I got home, and I could not find anything to confirm that. So,
okay. Well, you know what? First of all, Sky, I appreciate you sharing that, but I'm not going to entertain that. Because you know damn well that's not even true. Because we had our last Facebook Live from our president on Thursday to talk about our 97% strike authorization vote outcome in favor of authorizing a strike if necessary. So in that update, which was a little over a week from the previous update, and then even at the rally last Sunday, the non-economic issues are still pretty slow. So how do you get to the economic? Because once you start talking about 32-hour work week, that's very much economic.
Absolutely.
So unless somebody's willing to call in, state their name, and where they're from to say that, I wouldn't even entertain that. I wouldn't.
No.
I'd even call BS if the media put that out there right now, because that kind of stuff is to continue to like psychological warfare on us, and I'm not buying
it. Like him or hate him, at least he's given us information, and that's the president of our UAW. He's given us information, and I got to give him kudos for that, because, you know, we haven't had that before. Not like that.
I agree. I agree, Scotty.
And there's obvious stuff that through the NAD agreement that we can't know about with the actual discussions going on. But as far as what's on the table, everything's on the table. Vice President Mike Booth's rally last week said there's 850 which wouldn't have to do with the economic issues. 850 UAW proposals for GM on the table right now. That's as far as he went with saying anything, you know, as far as
right.
what's been resolved or what's being worked on. That's to be found out here in the, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, if the companies decide to come to economic reality as they're having analysts that we need to do. So.
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up about the next couple of weeks. Real quick, we had a little discussion. Next week is Labor Day weekend. I didn't realize that.
That's why I thought this show was starting this weekend originally, because I knew we'd have next weekend off, and I missed last weekend, and for that I'm dearly sorry.
Oh, no. We brought the show back early. Well, we kind of did the 20th anyway, but we brought it back a little bit early because there seems to be, for better lack of words, action going on, right? So
I agree. And like you said, Shane's keeping us posted. I mean, every other day, one of the VPs or him seems to be saying something, you know, and I mean, I'm like you right now. I want to be in a good game. Now make it happen. One thing I'm going to put out there right now, and I want everybody to listen. You don't need no 5-year contract. You don't need no 6-year contract. Sean Payne, if he can get us back to a 3-year contract, I'd love you to death for that.
Yeah, 3 years.
Hear, hear. There's some talk about going to 4.8 and end the contract in May. And my personal thought is, why don't you just do 3.8 and still end it in May? That way you're almost
perfect.
A 4-year contract and you start getting them kind of used to going back to a 3-year agreement.
Perfectly said. Brownie wants, you know, Brownie, he wants to go to the 6. So I say it's time we put Browning on the shopping block, and you know, let's you know, he doesn't want to wear red. We all seen that. What's the matter, Chucky? Your ass getting sore? Yeah, he's the piece of shit we knew he was.
I'm glad you brought him up, because at that rally, did anybody see him there?
No,
he hasn't been at the last two that I've noticed.
Nope. Did. Jesse, you didn't see him, did you?
No.
Yeah. I got my doubts about Mr. Browning. I think he's from the old school, and I think he's going to hang on to that old mentality, I think, because I'm hearing he wants to settle for stuff for Ford, and our president made it very clear. He's going to handle the economics across all three.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to say what
have been really quiet. Been really quiet. Sorry, Jesse. It's
no,
been really
right.
quiet with Ford and GM. Like, you haven't heard too much about that.
Well, because we're down to the wire on the deadline, yes, and that is there's been a lot of chatter out on the airwaves about that. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that, but I believe that we're approaching, what we have, 18 days before our contract deadline. Yeah, we know a lot can happen in 18 days, but when we're being updated this past Thursday that non-economic issues are still slow pace, we'll have to see what happens. But as far as the lack of updates, or engagement from the Ford and GM side, yeah, that I'd put that into question. I mean, is this about transparency, or is this about staying silent and expecting people not to take notice to that? That I would feel as though that is trying to keep something from the membership.
Yeah, sure. Keeping it close to the vest there, I'd say. I don't know. It seems awkward, in my opinion, that I mean, I don't know. It does. It does. I thought we'd hear more by now, for sure. Out of one of them, Ford or GM.
Well, I want to say something real quick. I want to put this back in context because Jesse and I and other people have been posting stuff like from the auto analysis, whatever, and then I posted this last week some news clips with Mary Barra and some other ex-CEO of Ford and stuff, and we're getting the talking heads, so to say. But when it comes down to the logistics of it, or the reality of this whole thing is, look, since 1979, we've lost, 125,000 active workers. I mean, between Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, I don't think we're at 200,000 or real close above or right around that mark somewhere. And we're still making as many vehicles as we did in 1980. And we're doing it with way less people. You know, not to reiterate what the president said, we've closed 65 plants across the United States. And some of our work has all went to Ford, and some of the work has went to Canada. Some of it's went other countries, too, in China. And when it comes down to it, I come back to my same old measure stick. How much profit did you make? Divide that by the people, and then that's how much each one of these individuals created value. So, you know, we keep hearing all this stuff in the news, and I'm just telling you, look, we're making more vehicles now with three-quarters less people than what we had back in 1980. So... Well, it's more than three-quarters. You get the idea. We're making more vehicles with less people than what we ever had. So, and for you to say that we burden your cost, that's a fallacy. It's a lie. So, anyway, take her away, I guess.
Yeah, we're Jim being told.
Go ahead, Jess.
Oh, we're being told, and the analysts are saying, and a specific CEO has said that we need to understand economic reality. Well, I'm going to have to say I'm somewhere in that 99%, nowhere near the 1%, and if I hear somebody in the 1% or somebody that is spreading propaganda for the 1%, I can guarantee you it's a straight-up lie. I don't want to hear shit about economic reality because we're living it every day in the factories, in the parts plants, in the transportation industry, you name it. We're living the economic reality, not the 1%.
Hear, hear. Or, you know, you tell that to somebody who's working 2 or 3 days a week, living in a trailer park, got a wife and maybe a baby. You tell them that, right? While you're making at least $1 million of pure net profit for the corporation which you work for, right? No? Yes?
Well, I mean, it's greed. I mean, we're really, you know, I think, too, is a lot of people don't understand. Most of us walking out of these buildings at the end of our day, we're worn down. Our bodies are dilapidated.
That's why we
you
had
know?
30, Carrie. That's why we had 30 and out, because after 30 years of that abuse, the union and the company agreed we abused our bodies. They were wore out so we could retire. But then they took away, they started the carve-out. Hell, you don't even, when's the last time you heard somebody say 30 and out where it was a good thing?
True.
Yeah, it's been a while.
True.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
So, in all actuality, this punk talking right now would have been 48 years old when I had 30 years had I not got into it with Deadwood and the boys, you know, and did my 9-year discharge stint, you know. That being said, that's another fact. But like I said, you got to get your shit together. And like Jesse said, we need to know the facts. So, Brother Fame, and you guys, if you're listening, when you do come to us for our contract ratification, bring the whole Mother Hubbard. Don't bring highlights, because when you bring highlights, all you're telling me is there's lowlights, buddy.
The last one, they did have the white pages. They put them online. But you remember, we found paragraphs that were missing or blank. Remember
and
that?
And now they've been filled in. And now a lot of those paragraphs have been filled in. Put that out there. And now they say you right. voted on it because it's a blank paragraph. Remember that, Scott?
Yeah. Well, that was under was that Gamble at the time?
It's sure
that
was.
Williams. Yeah, Gamble, because Williams had already retired.
Yeah, they'd already raided Williams' house.
Yep. I talked to some guy today,
this membership get a little pissed off about is we've all read in the paper where, hell, even the government now knows that manager there in New York was biased, he was dirty, he didn't do the right thing. But have you heard any, is he going to get in any trouble? Is he going to get his pee-pee spanked or something? No, they just shut
they
up.
Never do.
They don't do nothing.
They never do.
Well, that's
bullshit.
They never do. Now they're even more concerned.
So,
I'm still wondering about those 19 people that were still being investigated.
Investigations.
There might be more than
19 people or less than 19 people carried, but 19 investigations. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what happened?
And there might be more investigations by now.
Well, you're going to tell me it takes this long to investigate 19 people? With all the funding
you
they got?
You can bring the ex-president of the United States up and book him in a prison and take a mugshot, but you can't tell me the name of 19 people tied with my union and possible corruption? Don't the fuck.
There's a difference there. There's a difference there now, because they've been investigating the former president for over 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But Jerry was trying to get over to you, Kerry, is that it's 19 investigations. There could be 38 people. We don't know how many people are in those investigations.
Correct.
But that number 19 has been known for 4 years now, people.
The monitor ain't been there for 4 years, has he, Jimmy?
Correct.
No, but
if you
look at the dates on a couple of them indictments from Snyder, I'm looking right now, they go back 3 years. They're just turning 3 years, I'm sorry.
All right.
As far as that goes, we'd have to go by what the monitor's first report stated, or whatever the report was, the third report or something, where it stated the number of investigations.
I think that was the third.
We got to believe a biased liar.
To be honest, Jimmy, I feel that's irrelevant for the conversation, simply because that is court documents, and until we have transparency on what the hell is going on with all of that, I don't want to go based on my feeling versus what we have to go on, which ain't crap right now, if you ask me. But, you know,
But you're telling me that we got to listen to what some bugger in New York, who is, I feel in my heart, is dirtier than my toilet paper I flush down the toilet, people, and it smells worse. So I'm just telling you how I feel. Why do I got to believe what that punk says?
But the court are relying on this monitor. Mm. My opinion is not what the court is going to go on. The courts.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, the courts are getting reports at random. I'll just put it that way. They get them at random.
Yeah.
And no, we may feel that it's not right, but right now, we're not so much focused on that monitor right now. We're trying to focus on these negotiations. But when these negotiations are over, you know, it's a different story because, and you're going to have to watch the monitor during these negotiations because it appears that the monitor can overrule everybody. But he'll still have to answer for this. Oh, think about it. He's overruled our Constitution.
And he has.
So I, you know, it's stuff, you know, it's just stuff that we can think about. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Well, you couple that with our president has basically renamed a car czar to watch over our negotiations. So, I don't know. Concerned with that. And I talked to a gentleman today, and he was very upset with some of these CEOs and their pay. And then some of the things that they were saying in public, basically to the papers. And I told him, I said, I got to remind you, they're just the puppet. They're the mouthpiece. They're given their directions from the board of directors. And the board of directors' sole job is to make money so they get better dividends for their shareholders. And so they give the direction to these CEOs and which they're going to go. I mean, there is some personal into it, but not a lot. So got to remember that when these CEOs are talking to the Detroit News, the Free Press, or CNN, or whatever they're talking to, that's what they're being told to say. At least if they want to keep their job anyway. So that's a hard snitch on that one too. More food for thought.
Well, here for a second, unless anybody wants to say anything else on that topic, I'd just like to share something I find positive that occurred this week. Anybody else want to say anything on what was being talked about?
No, go ahead, Jess.
The GM Ultium Cells battery plant has finally established their first tentative agreement. It does not say when it's going to be voted on by the members of Ultium Cells battery plant. It just says in the coming days. But it was, the tentative agreement was announced by President Fain on the UAW.org on Thursday, August 24th, as well as in the live in the afternoon. So, you know, we brought that up quite a bit because they accepted the members accepted the union back in December of 2022, and here we are, the end of August, and they have their first tentative agreement. It's a start, and we're going to have to see where that goes with negotiations for our master agreements right now on whether or not we're going to be successful as a whole body to have these battery plants adopted into our master agreements. That's something else that a lot of us members that are working in the combustion side of production and whatnot, that we need to think about when we're voting for our tentative agreements coming up. And you got to look at it from a couple different angles. One is, yeah, that's not work that we're guaranteed right now. But we sure in hell won't get it or have access to it if we don't fight for it. And so that's important to recognize that they did get their first tentative agreement, whether they vote it down or not, time will tell. But that's very important also as a part of our international negotiations that are going on right now, because we all know that jobs, you know, work guaranteed into our contracts is very important. And not only that, but that will raise the tide for those at that plant. And another thing to do with that plant that that concerns me to make sure that these new members get into our master agreements is their work environment, the basics, the health and safety. Certain talking heads have shot down this video that President Fain did a while back after being elected, going to Lordstown to the plant and doing a report from the UAW side on the working conditions, environment of that battery plant. Right now, I'm going to say that his report to membership and to the public, it appears that it'd be more accurate because we've heard from workers, we've heard their working conditions. There have been pictures across media that have been shared to support, you know, the working conditions that are being talked about in that plant. And as I was looking earlier this week, there was an article that had come out talking about that plant being under investigation for a chemical spill over the weekend, last weekend, stating nobody was hurt, but that's not the first investigation since that plant opened by the federal government or OSHA. That might be the eighth one now. So I feel that it's important that we recognize, even if it's not the best contract, I'd say hoorah to all team sales union members for reaching a tentative agreement, and hopefully we can bring them up into the master agreement.
Jesse?
Yes,
I have a question.
Yes,
because you're saying bring them into the master agreement. So are they going to be classified as automotive, or are they going to be classified as a part supplier?
If I was in the position, I would say automotive.
No. Is it being said?
No,
Adrian,
I was looking to see if they deemed them a tier two shop too, or an independent parts supplier. I mean, that's where it looks like, because they're topping out at 21, aren't they, Jesse?
I'm not, it's somewhere around there, but I'm not going to say one way or another on a figure, but I do know, I have the article up right now. It's a very short article.
It was in the newspaper this morning. They come in, it was in the newspaper. Say, come in at $20 an hour and they're going to tap out at 21.
Well, I'm not going by the newspaper, but I do have UAW.org up where the statement was made about their.
It was written by, what's her name? Brianna something.
Yeah.
Brianna Noble? There you go. Thank you.
So, actually, I'm. It's very short. It doesn't say
No, please don't.
An actual
please don't
wage.
Read it. Please don't
no,
read
don't.
It.
We don't.
All
I'm
we're trying to do right now is just get a feel for where they may place them, and if they top out at around $21, that almost sounds like they're trying to place them in a part supplier
right.
unit.
And they should put them in
powertrain because it's the battery that's going to drive these vehicles.
So yes, that, and that's my thought, that they should fall under powertrain because you're going to lose, what, the engine and the transmission? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Engine, transmission, and brakes as you know it.
Right. So they should actually fall under powertrain, and that would be under automotive. Shouldn't be under part supply. But we have to wait and see what they're going to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was trying to stay away from opinions.
Yeah, I was praying it wouldn't be an independent part supplier because that's how they burned us real bad. God, what was that in the mid, like, 2000s, I think?
Right. I know that Ford spun off Visteon in, what was that, 98?
Yep.
And Delphi was spun off from GM. What year was that?
God, I think that was 6 or 7, somewhere right in there.
88, right, and American Axle.
Right.
You know,
American
they spun
Axle.
All of these off and made them part suppliers, which they had been automotive.
They were one of the first ones to spun off. We were spun off in 94, I think it was, 93 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah, 93, March of 93. Because I won my election in February of 92, I think it was. And next thing I know, we were up on the auction block, and Alice Karras was turning the plant, trying to show them how it would be good to. They were actually going through, well, we'll sell this, we'll keep this. You know, they were picking and choosing. And some of our jobs in that plant did go. We lost all the aerospace stuff we had in Plant 3. That went up to the next year plant now, believe it or not. I'll let you take it away on that note.
Yeah, a problem was really created when they broke them out. And it seems like this was all done by design. With the help of some of our past union folk. And so when you start looking at the numbers, as Scott was saying, and I don't know if you really realized it, but GM had over 1 million people, active workers in 1980. Ford had almost 1 million. And it's to be down to approximately 150,000 active workers, and you're making more product now. But, you know, we also have to look at there were some improvements in having robots and some other improvements that they made in assembly and elsewhere. But still, it's an increase with less people. Kind of
right.
Wonder.
That, we got to make sure we don't get any limits on COLA. If you're going to bring COLA back, we need to go back to Walter's philosophy, which would be cover all the concerns that everybody's talking about here. It was called annual income fund. As our workforce got smaller and our work generated more parts, you were supposed to be rewarded with more money.
That's correct. That is correct.
Adrian, another thing to go along with what you were talking about with robots, less people, more
yes.
productivity, the line speed. The line speed just keeps on increasing and increasing and increasing while job reduction, not because you can get the job done in a fair amount of time. It's in the name of greed.
Well, I agree with you. We used to have time studies when I first went in, and they would come around with the stopwatches and time the jobs out. But, and this is what I was talking about, some of the improvements that they made in some of the lines. They're kind of like automatic. So they were able to eliminate the time study person. Was it right that they did it? Not necessarily. But I can't go any further with that.
Yeah. Jesse, have you ever seen a snapback watch that, as a committee man in the 90s, I thought everybody at GM had them, far as I know. At least we did at Gear and Axle. Snapback watch is like a time watch, and you click it when the part comes by, you hit a mark on the line, and then you click it again when the next part. It automatically figures out how many parts an hour you're running. That's what your time study guy did that Adrian's talking about. But we had them watches, too, in the union. But then Jokic, God, I think it was in 94 or 5, he took 95, I think, is when he ordered all the snapback watches were brought back to the region, and I've never seen another one. Did you ever see any of them?
Mm-mm.
As a matter of fact, he wouldn't know any.
But let me say,
them folks.
The whole time study thing is not something that I'm unaware of.
Right.
But to actually see it applied, even when asking for it, yeah, never.
Oh, yeah. See, they used to be on the floor. And you'd see them and you'd know.
Adrian,
now, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you, at Ford, the facility I worked in, last time study guy I saw was in 97.
The last time study guy I saw was
I'm choking on coffee. You got me cracking up. Some people,
Jesse, the last
then.
Ones I saw in 2015 in my plant, but they didn't call them time study guys. They were engineers. They were engineers, as they said, but they were from
IEs.
All seemed to be from IEs. But they were these ones were from India. And if you went by them and watched them, they all had a clock and were clocking your movements. And I asked the one guy, I go, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm clocking the time you're not working." He goes, There's 19 seconds a minute that you have a void.
Oh.
I looked at him. I said, "Excuse me, motherfucker."
Yeah, he was figuring out something else he could put in there for you.
Well, he was, and I started stopping the line. I know how to work the rule. That's the problem. A lot of these younger people are afraid to start hitting that button. Oh, man, is that a dent? Man, you going to do that? But we're going to slow it down. As long as you stay moving.
The current method of time study on the floor is, again, that infamous word, whipsaw. And that is, well, this shift is able to do it.
Oh.
When you talk amongst each other, that is definitely not the case. But in the moment that you're being put into question because your job, the line is moving too fast for your job, and you're witnessing coworkers doing this, you know, having the same struggles, along comes that time study of, well, the other shifts are doing just fine.
And that's when you're supposed to say, "Good for them."
I'm not going to get into details about No, let's not get into details about that right now. Scott knows.
Right.
Actually, in my humble opinion, that's where you got a weak-ass union on the shifts from one to the other. Where is the what do you call it? They called it mirrored image. Every image, every ship was supposed to mirror each other. Well, why can one ship do it so much easier than another? There's something going on there. Just like when we, you know, we found out, well, first ship never runs a lot of parts. Well, first ship, we had to run everything to gauge. Second ship, kind of to gauge. Third ship, it, man, they flat out, they didn't have no goddamn benchmarks. That's why I got in trouble when I told the form. I told the plant manager one time in a plant meeting. I said, I don't get it. I come up here, there's something wrong with the air in this room up here. He goes, what do you mean? I said, all super getting their cues confused. He goes, cues. I said, up here you talk quality, quality, quality. They hit the shop floor and it's quantity, quantity, quantity. Man, my ass was, I did the balance of the shift for that one.
Yeah,
bullshit protection, that one was the balance of shift in 3 days, Jesse. I want you to know that. You know what bullshit protection is, right? That's them earplugs that you wear when you go to their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. You got your earplugs. That's called bullshit protection. When I'm up here, I went out for the balance and on that.
A lot of the plants.
Back to the whole point of saying that, though, was Adrian was talking about robots and the production, the membership, the drop in membership since the 80s and whatnot. It's the line speed, too. And it's the line speed increases after job elimination. Go figure that. So.
Yeah. Well, it makes no sense. You know, you got less people. You got a shorter time from one station to the next, and you're not supposed to get injured.
Right.
Not to mention, right. We know that causes a lot more work-related injuries, and
right.
And then once that occurs and these injuries start occurring, then it's fight like hell for workers' comp.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. You get blamed for something happening to you is what happens. They blame you.
Right.
That's what happens.
That's correct.
And what I'm
yes, they single you out.
And what I'm going to say
correct.
It's people that have more time than you, Jesse, can remember this. They call them RI, repetitive motion injuries. They've tried to rebrand them or make it go away. It does. Our ergonomics stink at all the factories. Our ergonomics absolutely stinks. You got a manpower coordinator. City man, at least at our local.
You're cutting in and out, Scott.
Oh, okay. How about now?
Oh, can we now?
Yeah.
Okay. We had a manpower committee. That person is... That is that district committee, and then that shift leader. They are the manpower committee. They're aware of these jobs. Okay. With that being said, like I said, the repetitive motion injuries, them have been around for years. Our ergonomics suck at all these plants, all the factories. So we got terrible ergonomics. They know that. Here MRI because that's an actual medical term. It says you're going to hurt yourself. The more you repeat this action, you're going to injure your body somehow. They know that. They try to keep that shush. Okay, with that being said, in your committee man and the shift leader or the superintendent in that department know about these jobs. They know how short-staffed they are. They always say you're right. They cut the line. They cut the manpower back and then 10 jobs, and they wonder why people can't keep up or people getting hurt. The other thing you had to worry about was...
You cut completely out.
Yeah, I don't hear him either.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Scott, are you driving?
Patty, where in the world are you?
I'm in the same place I normally am, and I looked at my phone, and all the bars just went gone. Just,
you know, one
gone.
So did you.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, so if you can hear me right now, can you hear me now?
I probably
can.
That's okay. Better.
Don't be advertising
you,
Verizon.
You shouldn't ask that right. question, but that's better.
Yeah. So what happens is this manpower committee, when they meet and they talk about the jobs and the manpower and blah, 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 time studies are brought up. There's a time study for every job in our plant. That's how they figured the content on your job. Like Jimmy was saying, they want every job, the Swift Corporation wants, they want every job at least 85% of utilization of your time. Okay? With that being said, your time study is not done on the floor. They do it in the computer. The engineers do it on a computer in the plant without any coming out, and it does not allow for, like in material, for instance, it does not allow for any of the human components to be allowed into that time study. In other words, how many steps does it take me to get off the tugger, go to the back, unhook that rack of parts, change them out the line, put it back in? That's not in there. All they're allowing for is drive time. There's no interaction. There's no... somebody just spilled a container or something in front and they blocked off my only path to get to the line. Or an accident's happened. That doesn't happen. That's not allowed. This time study is very draconian, and people need to know that. So they're there. They're there for every job. Their goal is to be at 85% full utilization. In fact,
yeah.
If they can get more, they want more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that along with that, that they also work on that when they do a launch with the pilot teams and stuff. But like you said, the reality is once you're out there on the floor, let's just say you've worked out all the kinks and the bottlenecks and stuff and you get rolling. Well, then the line speed increases. Then it increases again. And it increases again. I'm going to leave it at that on this topic because I'm not going to have foot mouth syndrome today, but I'm going to keep it at that.
Well, you know what I'm wondering about? You want to know what I'm wondering
what?
About?
What
I'm wondering how they're talking about 2 work weeks and there's discussion in 2 buildings where I'm at. Where in January, they're wanting to cut a whole shift in 2 of the buildings, paint and body, and have us work 4 shifts, 12 hours a day, for 3 days. I'm wondering about how, that's 36 hours, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Does that make any sense?
It might.
No.
It might make sense. But then again, to whose advantage is it?
Well, it certainly isn't my advantage because I don't want to work no 12-hour days.
Okay.
I'm having a hard enough time working their 10.7 alternative work schedule.
But what I'm saying...
How would that...
When I ask that question, right,
mm-hmm.
it's not to
mm-hmm.
your advantage. It's to the company's advantage.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah.
And this was posted in the chairman's work, whatever you want to call it, his report. But he didn't even go in and describe exactly what that entails. For people.
Mm-hmm.
Because 12-hour days is just too much on anybody's body or mental capacity.
Especially in assembly.
I just don't understand. I guess when you elect people, you elect them not to fight. I don't know.
Well, that's a good one. At our plant, we went to a 6-day operation without a vote. We were told that that was in our best interest and for the product and everything. How do you like that?
Well, that's what I brought. You know, I heard this talk probably about 8 months ago, and I heard it from the building behind mine, okay? And they were telling me about this. So, you know, I hurry jumped on the phone and was talking to that plant chairman. I said, how would that even possibly be a great idea? Well, that's what the company wants. I said, so let me get this straight. It's elimination of a shift with the best shift premium, and you're going to make people work more hours.
Yep.
I said, does that make any sense?
It's cheaper to pay overtime than it is insurance. That's what they'll tell you. That's management's viewpoint. It's cheaper to pay overtime.
But where's the overtime? See, if you're working 3 days, 12 hours a day, that's 36 hours. Where's the overtime? There's no overtime there.
Right.
Remember,
40, you're right.
Currently,
that's why we need OT
after
8.
You don't get overtime until after 40.
Right.
Right.
And
wow.
If it's happening here, I'm sure it's happening at other places. I'm sure.
Jerry, are you guys on 410s?
Right now, it's 410s, but they do a 10-7. They can work
to
10-7.
Oh, yeah.
The tenth of an hour, yeah.
But
see, here's the whole thing. It was only supposed to be 10 hours. So you know what? There is no fight. 10 is 10. It shouldn't even have been 10, in my opinion.
Right, right. We did that when we had the ABC crew working 10 hours. It was always 10-3, 10-7. 10-3, 10-7.
You know,
yeah,
that's
not
an alternative work schedule.
Right, right. But you know what?
But not to mention.
The other one is an alternative work schedule, too.
Right.
They don't care about you and your children.
No, they don't.
What you're talking about, the 3 days, 12 hours, that's another alternative work schedule.
Exactly.
That one's called A, B, C, D.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 2 day shifts and 2 night shifts.
We had all of that going on over in that engine plant.
Yep.
Every alternative work schedule that you can imagine.
But I don't see anybody fighting about how many alternative work schedules can you possibly be on, for damn sake? I mean, you gotta constantly be changing your whole life around just to accommodate.
Not to mention when they do these AWSs, they also start messing around with start times. And they'll shift them around for business needs, and you get little notice, and then you gotta change, like you said, your lifestyle to accommodate that.
In the long run, I'm not making more money; I'm losing it.
Yeah, you're losing 4 hours a week. Times that out, 16 hours a month. You know, take that 16 hours times 12, and that's how much you're losing hours. And then put that dollar amount on that at straight time, and you say, holy crap. You know, how about what we have? How would you like to have a 10-minute break for your first 5 hours?
2 to 3.
A 10-minute break.
Oh, but wait, there's more on that alternative work schedule, too. Like, Carrie, you're on that schedule. I was on 410s for a long time at my last plant. Yes, the whole extra temps, you know, every department had to fill their banks and stuff, so they keep on inching their way through extra temps up on a board. But the other thing is, you're paid 40 hours of vacation. A day of vacation pay is considered 8 hours contractually, regardless of what your employer's alternative work schedule is. So if I'm on 410s and I call in for a day or I take a vacation day, it's 8 hours. I lose that 2 hours or 2.7 that you're normally scheduled to work.
Correct.
Cost money.
Correct.
Good point.
Or
have a person.
What was that?
That's a great point, because like you said, now he's even though he took the vacation, he's still down 2.1 hours, I believe you said, for the week. If you're going to be on the schedule, then our vacation needs to reflect that shift of that schedule. If it's 10 hours, so be it. If it's 10.1, so be it. If it's 12, mothers, you invented it, pay it.
Well,
I mean,
here's the draconian thing when we hit ABC crew back at Flint. If you took a vacation day, Jesse, they didn't take 8 hours. They took 10. So you actually
ended
up losing days.
Yep, they take 10. But, I mean, and think about how fast you burn through that in a 365-day year.
Yeah.
They're gonna take a week from you for their shutdowns now. Why aren't we just getting laid off? Don't take no more vacation time for your shenanigans.
Like we used to. Jimmy can tell you about that back in the day.
Oh yeah,
right?
We got unemployment for that too. Remember that? Unemployment and subpay.
For 2 weeks.
You had to wait, what was it, 3 weeks to get your sub pay. By that time, hell, you done smoked the shit up anyway, but they're drank
it
up, went back to work. We all think differently is what I'm saying, but at least that we didn't burn our vacation time. You're right. The unions, Yoki's sucked ass to get Davis Vision, and that was one of the concessions way back when we gave up the changeover time. Or they didn't they seem like we had to use 1 week. The way they put it out is they paid us 1 week and then we got the second week because they said it was the 4th of July and then we wound up getting it all screwed.
Right. It started out 1 week vacation, 1 week they give you your
your Christmas
short
bonus.
1 week.
They
you get your
vacation.
Christmas bonus in July.
Tied it in with the 4th of July holiday, so you got screwed. I mean, you got your money,
right.
But...
Right, but then they went to going from 1 week to vacation and your Christmas bonus paid that the second week to 1 week vacation, 1 week unemployment, and then they went just straight up 2 weeks vacation for shutdown. That's what was allowed. So
they shouldn't be taking any vacation time. They should not be taking any vacation time when they decide to shut these places down, in my opinion.
Well, they changed that under I believe three different people, three different presidents and three different contracts, and then you wound
exactly.
up with
President after Jokic, we lost more and more.
Yep, that was a concession made to keep the company's SUTA tax down so that they didn't have to pay so much for unemployment. Because when you're laid off, the percentage, depending on how much you're laid off, a percentage is assigned to them. And so a concession was made to make it a vacation shutdown instead of changeover where you would get unemployment.
Correct.
But you know what, Adrian?
Link.
You know what's
I didn't
the
like
bum
that.
Deal? Do you know what's the shitty end of that? The people that are making the decisions and agreeing with the company,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have their week off. They're going to get paid. They're not going to take their vacation time. So my thing is, why would you think that would be a good thing for anybody else?
Well, most of them are not off. They make it so they don't have to use their vacation.
Right.
Oh,
union
business.
Time.
Okay.
So much, you know, you have to have so many reps because you still have people working. So you got to have reps in the building, right?
Well, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's something
there.
There's
a whole other shenanigans there, too.
Yes.
It's another house full of shenanigans.
That's what it is. You know, that was one of the things that I never understood. It was my thing on that is, if this is my vacation time, I should be able to schedule my time for when I would like to use it. Now, I get it that everybody can't be off at the same time. But, you know, we have to compromise on, you know, taking our times. But it shouldn't be used for a changeover. Uh-uh.
No.
And half the time, I wouldn't have took my vacation in the end of June, because that's usually when it would happen, end of June, beginning of July. I wouldn't be taking vacation at that time.
No.
You know, not me.
When it's
scorching
hot out?
Right. I mean, you know.
But you could use those vacation days, too, when you needed, you had something going on and you needed that time off, that vacation. You could
be
using that.
Yeah, but still, it's
got
to be approved. Think about it.
Well, yeah.
It's got to be approved. I don't know. I'd rather have, let me have 10 personal days.
Yeah.
And the rest can be vacation, you know. But this thing that they're trying to do at Stellantis, that's some illegal stuff that they
mm-hmm.
tell people. You can't use your PA days. That's bullshit. That's against the law.
But here's my thing, and nothing's being done about it? I mean, has anybody heard of anything being done about that?
I haven't heard any more about that. But, you know, that man there, that CEO, I don't really want to even say too much about Stellantis, because when that MF jumped up there and said that he was a free man, it's like, what, you think the rest of us are fucking slaves? Oh, I don't even like to talk about that man. Because that's it for me with him.
Right.
Well, that was
some
a crazy
things you keep
comment.
To yourself.
That was a crazy comment.
That was off the wall for real. But this is what happens when you let foreigners come into your land and try to take over your land.
Yep.
We can't go over there. Our companies can't go over there and own nothing. You ain't going over there and take over. But here in the United States, we allow that. And so they come here and think that they could just say any damn thing. Because they don't have respect for us.
You're right.
So I hope they really hit him in the pockets.
I got a question for everybody. Because Scott brought up that we had posted a few things that were circulating with industry analysts talking about certain things. And one thing that resonated with me this past week and during like an analyst show, it was brought up in the past that UAW had tried talking with the companies about how they could actually save costs on health care by collaborating with each other as one group with the medical insurance to have a stronger purchasing power. And if that's the case, why wouldn't that have already been done to benefit not just the companies, but us? Because that could allow us, if that's cost saving, that would allow us to either have more things that could be covered on our insurance or put that savings towards something else, like a pension, for benefits for us. Do you guys, any of you guys, ever hear about this being discussed in past negotiations?
I've never heard of that being discussed, but I always wondered why they didn't do that.
Because if an analyst can come up with such a thought, you'd have to believe that three companies would be able to come up with that, at least one of them.
Yeah, I always wonder.
There was another suggestion, which I'm not going to share because I know that plenty of people listen to the show, and I'm not trying to see how we can devalue our benefits, but there was another suggestion on the whole medical benefit, too, to save costs, and I'm not going to entertain that crap.
What I was going to say, I don't know, like now, how that would affect the VEBA. Because the VEBA, each VEBA is a separate trust. So, and each company puts money into the VEBA. For the
Could you start a new one?
They could start a new one, but it wouldn't be.
I mean, like a separate
the one that they're obligated for the current retirees. Let me put it this way: if you're going to do anything, you can't take it down. It has to only go up in value. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, because
when I said new one, I meant like a separate one from the existing one and what's established for those that are already retired. You know,
yeah, well, first
but
of all,
to establish a new one if they were to do something like that.
It's a possibility that they could, but I really don't believe that the UAW should have ever accepted that to be on their books. That's an obligation that the company owed to their retirees.
You're right, and that's why Mr. Fain is saying that he wants the retirees' health care to go back to the corporation.
Yeah, that's and with it being on the UAW, they may have to have more people working that in that trust. Things that's going on in that trust that folks don't talk about. Because you still got a board.
Yep.
And, of course, the companies still are on that board because
Yeah.
They have to put that money in there.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's also good for people to know if your trust liquidates, you cannot borrow from one of the other trusts.
Right. And if you can do it,
Jimmy! Jimmy, I'm going to put you on mute. Okay.
I thought that. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's
not Jimmy. When you're
depressed, you said, please, Hermes, man. All right. Trying to put you in there. There we go. I found it. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think Stephanie. Go ahead.
And also, if you did a new VEBA, Jesse, you have to go to court. And the last time we went to court with a VEBA, all the documents got sealed, so we couldn't find out what was in it. So
okay, just again, to clarify, when I said new, I meant to have a separate one from the one existing under the guidelines that one exists, because the whole VEBA was brought up after I had said how I had heard these analysts that are well-known in the industry to follow automotive and labor and UAW, that the idea of the companies collaborating for better purchasing power on our medical care, that in the event that would happen, you know, that's where this VEBA comes into play. But then I ended up saying, you know, couldn't you just create a secondary one for that purpose?
Right. Right. Every VEBA, because it deals with money and corporation and union, so it has articles of corporation that follow that. And when they do that, then they have to go to court, and it has to be approved by a federal judge. And then when they do that, it seems like every time the corporation gets their way on it, and they end up sealing those documents, so we can't find out what they say.
We've got about a minute and a half, guys.
All right.
You got what?
About a minute and a half. So, real quick, this last week, this has been kind of floating around Facebook, and I like it. It's a quote from our president, Sean Fain. It says, "Dear CEOs, have you ever considered the hypocrisy of making more in a year than your workers are making a lifetime, and then telling those same workers that they are greedy and unrealistic?" TikTok. So I want to get that out there real quick.
That's right.
I like that. Clock's running. TikTok, TikTok, TikTok.
Yeah, hell, I got muted while I was muted.
Well,
I love you too,
Couch. I had some
background. Hey, so no show or show next week or what?
Oh,
we got going next weekend.
Yeah, next week is the holiday weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Do we want to do
right.
a show?
All right, well, the Detroit branch of AFL-CIO is hosting the Detroit Labor Day Parade. We're all welcome to join that. Details are on social media. You can go to the UAW Factory Whistle official group, look at past posts, and find all that good information.